Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you using quality microphones and interfaces from Rode Microphones. Australian owned and operated, Rode products are world-class audio equipment. If you're creating a podcast or making music, you need Rode on your side. Rode Microphones, exclusive audio sponsor of Full Credit to the Boys. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, the Panthers are forced into a rebuild. We preview the State of Origin, and Peter Volandi says he was raw. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You're playing games with my heart. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit Boys live from the Craig Gower Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast, Instagram FCTTB podcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts. He's a man who this week declared war on Elon Musk as a tweet about Sidcoin seen it plummet in value. He was made an audacious bid to have Oatley Oval host Origin 3, and tonight he's wearing the all-new Full Credit of the Boys open-toe UGG boots. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, well, hello, former. Hello, Australia. Not you, Queensland. It's Origin tomorrow, former. I'm excited, because you know what it means when the first Origin is on? It means our live show is only a few weeks away.
Oh, I was going to say, another Wednesday of disappointment. No.
Not this year, my friend, not this year. Means our live show is only a couple of weeks away. That time of the year where we dust off our New South Wales Origin onesies. Does yours still fit you?
Yes, it does. I checked on the other night.
A lot of room in it. Should.
A lot of room in the ball area, I noticed. Same as yours. Real loose fitting down there, I've noticed. Yours? No?
Had to get mine taken out down there. Right. But we dust off the onesies. We tell inappropriate jokes to a room full of lunatics. There's not many tickets left. Go get them early whilst you can still get $25 off thanks to Boris Garaglikian. Not you, Queenslanders.
Not old tuck shop arms. No good.
We're going to have Spud Carroll, Bill Harrigan, cricketers Richard Cheekwe, Gavin Robertson, probably playing their smash hit song, Can't Bowl, Can't Throw. And probably Beer Boy will be up the front dancing in his boxer shorts. Same shit that happens at most shows. We'll be running.
So if you don't see this one, get to the next one.
We'll be running some segments that we can't run on this podcast. And
no good. It's some no good stuff.
I went
stuff.
Through a couple of them this Arvo. I was like, no, we shan't be doing that one. We'll get sued. But that's why Mrs. Sid takes all your phones. There'll be some other surprises. So go to fullcreditpodcast.com because you don't want to miss out.
Just on one of those things that we show only on this show and nowhere else.
Yes.
Why didn't we show that clip I'm just looking at now on the screen at the Matty Johns Andrew John show?
Play this thing, let's move on.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm BB Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
First story comes from the Jindabyne Journal. Bride drops dead at her own wedding before groom marries her sister instead.
I'm glad you find that funny. That's sad.
Bride drops dead at her own wedding before groom marries her sister instead. North Queensland, not for sure. A tragic and bizarre wedding, bizarre wedding has unfolded in India with a bride dropping dead moments before the final stages of the traditional ceremony. Surrounded by friends and family, Patma Hardik fell unconscious beside the groom-to-be, Manjess Kumar. Doctors rushed to her side, but despite the best efforts, she was pronounced dead by the way of cardiac arrest moments later, local media said.
Oh, no good.
Oh, so bad. That's when both parties stepped in and came to a new arrangement, this time involving the bride's younger sister, Sukma. We did not know what to do in this situation, Patma's brother, Mandeep Hardik, told local media. It's understood the body of Patma Hardik was kept in one room while the marriage to her sister, Sukma Hardik, took place in the next.
Wow.
It was a tough call for our family, they said. One daughter lay dead in one room, but the wedding of another daughter was being sodomized in the other
solemnized.
Room. Solemnized.
Yeah.
In the other room, Sarabi's uncle, Anal Ballsdeep, said, we've never witnessed such mixed emotions. The grief over her death and the happiness of the wedding have yet to sink in, he said. The ceremony was an entire waste, with Pat Maher's bridal flowers being used on her own casket. The bridal limo certainly looks quite the sight, with the newlywed couple in the back while the coffin was strapped to the roof. But not for the first time, Unchained Melody was played at a wedding and a funeral on the same day, Sid.
Look, this is a tough story. It's not funny at all. The show must go on, former. It's like if you break a string on your guitar, you just make do, get through the song. It's the same here.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot goes into a wedding. There's the venue hire, the guest list, the cake, the ceremony, the music, the dead sister, the wedding dance, the coroner's arrival.
Do you dance around the chalk outline for your first dance?
You got to dance tradition? Around it, yeah.
Or would you proper up Weekend at Bernie style?
There's a lot of rules at weddings. Like, is the bride going to root the best man? Not in this case.
Or maybe in this case.
Are mum and dad going to get along? Is dad going to bring his new Filipino girlfriend to the wedding? A lot of things going on at the weddings. Not just this one. You put a whole bunch of people from two different families in a room, ply them with alcohol and vindaloo in this case. It's always going to be good. Reminds me of the time I got invited to a Bucks Day once, former. They had two strippers in the backyard. The groom was trying to get his soon-to-be father-in-law on the chair for a lap dance. The old man, he was having none of it. Ended up with the groom and the father of the bride throwing haymakers at each other for a good 5 minutes. It was tops. They landed more punches to the head than a YouTuber versus Mayweather fight. Both turned up at the wedding with black eyes. But the real hero in that situation, I think you can agree, former, was a young Sid Punts who protected those strippers while all the violence was happening. I protected them twice each over the next 4 hours, if I recall correctly.
Now, I understand with this Indian wedding, which was a sad occasion slash happy occasion, Sid, obviously, but the celebrant, Chloe Amanda Bailey, didn't know which way to go.
C-T-T-B. Very good.
Our next story comes from the Bateman's Bay Bugle. Pilot sentenced for watching porn and exposing his genitals to a female officer mid-flight.
Wow, not, there's a lot to unpack here.
Not mid-flight.
It was mid-flight, yep.
A pilot who watched porn and exposed his genitalia to a female officer on a flight to Florida has
of
been...
Of course it's in Florida.
Down to Florida, we welcome you to the Sunshine State. They're kicking back and soaking up the rays.
Get out of their car.
Every day in Florida.
Southwest Airlines pilot Michael Hark apologised before Judge Judith Scheindlin, and who ordered him to serve probation and pay a $5,000 fine. It started as a consensual prank, they always do,
yep.
Between me and the other
it's
pilot.
A fine line.
Look at this.
Just because I consent doesn't mean she did.
Look down here.
Yeah,
oh, you're
PA
in.
Trend.
It's consensual.
That's disgusting.
It started as a consensual prank between me and the other pilot. I never imagined it would turn to this in 1,000 years, Hark said during the virtual hearing. The incident occurred on a flight when he was piloting from Philadelphia to Orlando on August 10, 2020, federal prosecutors said. When the plane reached cruising altitude, Hark got out of the pilot's seat and disrobed.
Wow.
What was he wearing? Hugh Hefner was flying. Began watching pornographic material on a laptop computer in the cockpit, prosecutor
This guy's
said.
Great.
How come we're down the back in 38F next to the shitters watching Legally Blonde 2 while old mate can sit on the cockpit watching...
And we got to be in airplane mode.
Oh,
yeah, can't Google right. anything down
I'll,
there.
Old mate can sit on the cockpit watching Schindler's Fist.
This is outrageous.
As the plane continued its flight, Hark further engaged in inappropriate conduct. What would that be, Sid? In the cockpit. That's right, I said cockpit. As the first officer continued to perform her duties as an assigned air crew member. I've seen this movie, Sid.
Yeah.
Obviously not the end of it. never seen the end of it. I've definitely seen the first 5 minutes. Federal prosecutor said in a statement, prosecuting lawyer Michael Cunnington, one of the great Cunningtons, blasted the pilot, saying that he had a duty to comport himself in a much more responsible manner. This is not the kind of aberrant behaviour that anyone should accept. Look out, Sid. Someone's bought a new thesaurus.
Look at the brain on Cunnington.
Settle down, Cunnington.
No one's impressed. We don't know what you're talking about.
Enjoy it, wordsmith. Hark, who retired shortly. He should have retired a day earlier, I reckon, after the incident, was charged in April with
his... I think the writing was on the wall for Hark.
I think he wrote his own writing on the wall. Signed his name on the window. Hark, who retired shortly after the incident, was charged in April with intentionally committing a lewd, indecent or obscene act in a public place. How public is the cockpit in other news?
Yeah, exactly.
He pleaded guilty to the charges. His lawyer, Sean Brownhole, said that in a... said in a court filing that Hark... I think he plays for Panthers, Sean Brownhole.
Imagine rocking up in court. Who's my lawyer? Ah, oh, not Brownhole.
Sean. At least you've had a shave.
We're gone here.
Accepted responsibilities for behaviour and offers no excuses. But he argued his client deserved a lenient sentence given his lifetime of hard work. Well, that's what's got him into trouble in the first place, I would have thought. And kindness, he said.
Yeah, look, former. It's not his go. It's not his go at all.
I wonder when you talk to old Sean Brownhole before you go into court and you say, what's your defence going to be for me, mate? And he says, kindness. Get the checkbook out. Looks like I'm doing community service at best.
Brownhole strikes again.
Sean.
Shithouse defence. But seriously, what is it with blokes just flopping it out and having a wank in front of people? What do you get out of it, former? And I'm asking you specifically. I don't understand it.
If you want to know what I get out of it, go and have a look at your curtains.
We see cases of this.
I get a spider web hand out of it.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry I asked. Stop putting your hand up to me face.
Like this.
Yeah, good.
Spiderweb.
I don't understand this trend. We've had Harvey Weinstein just flop it out and start shaking hands with the milkman. We had Louis C.K., who was one of my favourite comedians, till it came out that he loves Louis celebrating C.K. Palm Sunday in front of unsuspecting ladies.
C.K., cock cranker.
But this fella former, has taken it to the next level.
Hark.
He's in charge of a plane, for fuck's sake, and he decides, this is probably what goes through his head, cruising speed's good. Steady altitude, check. Autopilot, check. Let's explore the cockpit. Chance of rain, 100%. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on flight 6969 from Orlando to Florida. Well, it's the same place. Currently, we're cruising at 40,000 feet. We will estimate time of arrival of 10 a.m. I have my cock out. I'll be blown by 9:30. Thank you for joining us here on Southwest Airlines. We look forward to talking to you just before landing. Stay seated. Grab one of the hostesses on the ass, and thank you very much. Hark out.
FCTTTB sounds like too many T's to me. FCTTTTB, yeah, that's definitely too many T's.
I like the hark out.
Mic drop.
What a sign off.
Mic drop. Cock drop. One of the next story comes from the Loretton Witness. Southwest Airlines, they're at it again. Banned passenger accused of knocking out flight attendant's teeth.
Whoa.
I mean, we've all wanted to. Can I get a exit row? No, sorry. Okay. The Southwest Airlines passenger who was seen in a viral video punching a flight attendant and busting her teeth has been permanently banned from the airline. The horrific altercation happened on a Southwest Airlines flight that had just landed in San Diego earlier this week when the unnamed flight attendant, I'll tell you what, I've seen photos of the unnamed flight attendant, looks like Fatty Vorton in drag, I've got to be honest. apparently fight's as good as Fatty too, truth be known.
And now with less teeth. Wow.
When the unnamed flight attendant, let's just call her Fatty for the point of it, approached... approached Viviana Quinones, 28, and her family about not wearing masks. Southwest officials said Miss Quinones would be barred from the flight in a memo to flight attendants, according to USA Today. As we've communicated previously, we'd not have a process to permanently restrict passengers from travelling on Southwest. And please know that the passenger involved in the most recent airline incident has been advised that she may no longer fly on Southwest Airlines. Sonia Lahore from Southwest's Vice President of In-Flight Operations wrote in a memo, according to the newspaper. Miss Quinones is also facing a felony charge of battery, causing serious bodily injury in a connection with the incident, the Port of San Diego Harbor Police Department said. Miss Quinones has also been named as Floyd Mayweather's next opponent in a 40-round exhibition bout in August. She'll go the distance.
Yeah, this was reported in USA Today, who were also trying to get a comment from the pilot. He called out to reporters that he was coming several times, but he failed to arrive at the press conference.
NRL round review brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
I thought you were going to spray that Woodstock bourbon all over the studio then.
Hanging on for grim death. If it had been just plain coke, it would have went. Yep. Round 13 review, and we started on Thursday night when the St. George Illawarra Dragons gave the Brisbane Broncos a bit of a touch-up, winning 52 points to 24.
It was a point a minute. It's ridiculous.
In a game that didn't involve tackling, it was a 9-4 hammering. The Dragons humiliated a Broncos side lacking in an 80-effort once again at No Means No Stadium. Despite scoring 24 points, there wasn't a whole heap to like about the Broncos as they meekly conceded 50 points yet again.
They can't win the comp, former.
Adding salt to the wounds was the fact that three of their better efforts from the Dragons came from former Broncos players, Jack Bird, Andrew McCulloch and Ben Hunt. The Broncos' efforts can be wrapped up in one play from the night when fullback Jermaine Asako led in a bizarre and crucial try on the stroke of halftime when he failed to kick a ball dead and ultimately watched Matt Dufty get his hand to the ball and score. Asako was eventually hooked from the field with 15 minutes to go in the game, finishing with 4 errors and 3 missed tackles next to his name.
That was bizarre from Asako.
It was really bad.
He just didn't seem interested, but he wasn't on his own here, former. The kick went through, and most of the Broncos players didn't bother chasing it, but Asako had it covered. The halftime siren was about to sound. All he had to do was kick the ball dead, but pounced on it. But in this game, tackling was optional from both sides. The Broncos missed 25 tackles and the Dragons 22. It seemed more, but it's a habit that the Broncos have fallen into this season. I saw this stat during the week. 10 Broncos players have missed 20 tackles or more over the first 13 rounds. Here's a list. David Mead, 10 games, 32 missed tackles. The MILF.
There's a problem.
The MILF, 9 games, 32 missed tackles. Pangai Jr., 30. The Newcastle-bound Matt Lodge, 28 missed tackles, and the list goes on and on and on. Matt Dufty, who had a blinder in this one, has been criticised for his defence. He's the last line of defence. He's missed 11, but has had 7 line breaks, 10 try assists, 35 tackle busts. He averages 145 running metres a game, has scored 10 tries, and is without a contract.
Well, he carved them up all night, and Brisbane is reportedly preparing to make St. George Illawarra fullback Matt
Duffman
a serious offer after an absolute domination where he scored 2 tries and 5 assists, which equaled a club record, while also managing 94 running metres, 4 line break assists in the big hammering at Cogra. No means no. After watching run rings around their players on Thursday, including embarrassing current Broncos fullback Jermaine Asako for one of his 2 tries, the Broncos contacted his manager, Clinton Shukowski. It comes as 6,000 Dragons fans have signed a petition to keep Dufty at the club, despite coach Anthony Hook Griffin categorically stating he won't be at the club next year.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation with
Duffman.
Gus Gould said that the Dragons will definitely part ways with the Duff Man and said it's not because of on-field performance, which just led to more speculation. The Dragons historically don't seem to care what their players do off the field, so it's a strange one. I could.
You'd be looking around going, you're joking.
Come on, man. Look what he did yesterday.
He was in the news for the last 2 years.
So it's
he's down it's Cronulla Mall punching on.
It's definitely a strange one. I could understand if they had a better option. Obviously, Coach Peter Griffin has a plan. He's not telling anyone what it is, but I don't think Gordon Ramsay is the answer. He looks dead set terrible under the high ball. He sticks his arms out like a Thunderbird catching bombs, but the Dragons must
coming from one of the great fullbacks.
Yeah, exactly. I never got hooked. But the Dragons must have someone in mind because
stiff to get hooked from fifth grade.
It's weird.
whatever. Friday night.
Oh, well, yeah.
The West Tigers beat the Penrith Panthers. That's right. The West Tigers beat the Penrith Panthers 26 points to 6. It had been 357 days since Penrith last tasted defeat in the regular season, but they were humbled by a rampaging Tiger side who celebrated a famous 4-1 victory. The Tigers led 10-0 at halftime and went on with the job in the second half to hand the Panthers their first loss of the year. While Panthers fans clung to the excuse of missing players to Origin, they conveniently forgot that the Tigers were also represented in the Origin cauldron, with a number of Tigers players being named for Queensland.
That number?
One. The emotion of the game threatened to get out of hand at various stages, but the cool guiding hand of Grant the Diet Atkins kept things together, including chastising James Roberts when a melee broke out. He said, "You guys have the penalty, so as far as I'm concerned, we should just be getting on with the football. We don't need you to come in and inflame that. We're all better than that."
Yeah.
He turned the attention to Dylan Edwards from Penrith and said, "You're staying on the field, but after that goes a bit further than it should have. You continue to contribute to it, which I'm not very happy with." Both players were seen picking up papers after the game.
Yeah. He said to Roberts, "Now look, we're better than that, Jimmy," to which Robert said, "No, we're not."
I'm not.
The ref should only refer to players by their number. That really gets my goat, but I've said that over the years. This was ridiculous. Talking to them like school kids, Edwards and Roberts, or should I say Panthers number one and Tigers number five, were seen after the game writing lines, "It's a penalty. I don't need you guys coming in. We're better than that," 500 times on the blackboard. But this was a fantastic win from the Tigers. It was a danger game. If you win, it's because the Panthers had players out. If you lose, Buzz Rothfield calls for you to play in a second tier comp with the Bulldogs and a Riverina side. A fantastic performance by us, especially Luke Brooks, old Fivehead, had a great game, especially in defense. And you know what, former? I would give my left nut to see the headline, "West Tigers streak of 28 wins in a row broken as Tigers lose 6 players to Origin." You can whinge all you like, Panthers fans. They were salty after this one on Twitter.
Just saying, going back to what you're saying about calling players by their numbers.
Yep.
I remember that time I went down and watched you play for renowned fifth grade and the referee kept calling you, renowned, number 38. I didn't know numbers went up that number.
The fat guy. Remember that time I spewed next to Kerry Emsley's Harley?
That were good days.
That was a good day.
While the Panthers were missing a number of Origin representatives, they only had to look on the other side of the field to see that Supercoach Madge Maguire had 3 former Panthers players running out for the Tigers on Friday in James Tamau, Sean Blore, and Dane Laurie. And it would seem that at one point, Blore forgot which team he was playing for as he dragged his former teammate Stephen Crichton into the mob of orange and black jerseys as they celebrated a try.
He did a Panthers to a Panther.
That was after Adam Dewey gave the Panthers centre a comforting pat on the head as the Tigers sealed the game with a late try.
See, I don't mind when the Tigers carry on with all that bullshit.
Certainly not arrogant.
That's fine. it was good performances all over the park from the Tigers. Our defence was immense, as we got smashed in the penalties in the first half and 6 agains, absolutely got smashed by the Diet Atkins. But they miraculously evened up by full-time, former.
What a coincidence.
Jacob Little had a good game. He's making a late play to qualify for the 100-metre sprints at this year's, probably not Olympics, probably Paralympics. He ran 80 metres in dead-set quicksand. That was the slowest run ever. He didn't look like he was going anywhere, but he was chased by a fullback, a 5'8", and a winger, and none of them could catch him. I don't know if Channel 9 or Fox was on delay. Dead set. He looked like he was going nowhere. But a great performance by the Tigers and a great performance by the crowd. Have a listen to this. Yeah, it's good, Mum. Yeah, sit down, whatever.
Sit down. Who gave Mum the phone? You know what I, just talking about the diet, Atkins,
yeah.
Referee, as you said, he's hot and cold, or as one bloke in the crowd said,
hey, sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
So true.
The Melbourne Storm beat the Gold Coast Titans, who were poo, 20 points to 14.
They're gone, the Titans.
The Storm hung on despite a second-half fight-back from the Titans, and Melbourne have now won all six games they've played at the Sunshine Coast Stadium. The Titans led early, but Melbourne put their foot on the gas as they ran in two more tries to go out to a 16-4 lead at halftime and then hang on to seal the game.
Yeah, I didn't know that they've won all six games at Sunshine Coast Stadium. I saw this afternoon.
Pat Rafter Stadium, I think it is.
I saw this afternoon our match against Melbourne next round has been moved to Sunshine Coast Stadium. They're scared, the Storm. They're scared. We're the giant killers. But in this game,
well, we just love breaking streaks. Waddy Homewood would never come near the Tigers at the moment.
But in this game, the Titans, they opened the scoring through a great backline play with Preston Campbell's son, Jaden Campbell.
Is that his son?
On debut. I'm not sure if you heard this.
Is he a beach sprinter?
He ran to the line, giving the ball to Herbert, who dragged in three defenders and passed it to another debutant, Greg Marzhu. That's a name we're going to be saying on this podcast a lot, I imagine, to go over untouched in the corner. But the Storm then ran through the Titans' defense to hit back. Then Smith scored a barge over, and so too Brian Kelly. But it was a great try from little George Jennings that put the Storm out by 12 points, and then they just hung on for the victory.
Yeah, Melbourne Storm might have been without their origin stars, but they're not without leadership. With their nuggety hooker, Brandon Smith, the hectic cheese,
stepping up
to fill the void left by the likes of Cameron Munster, Josh Adokar, and Christian Welch. The hectic cheese finished with 35 tackles, 73 running metres, 27 of those post-contact, a line break, a try, and three tackle busts.
77 Supercoach points, you always gloss over that. Look, the Titans, they had a couple of chances late to snatch this one. They bombed a certain try with 10 minutes to go with an unmarked winger. And with the Storm having a player in the bin at the time as well, it was bad. Then in the final seconds, this was great. The last play went forever. They bombed that as well, though. Chance to tie up the game and send it to Golden Point. It just wasn't to be. The Storm hung on, and the Storm had plenty of their stars out for Origin, but they're not whinging like this fella.
Yeah, fair point. The final game of a shortened round saw the Parramatta Eels just hang on to beat the Newcastle Knights 40 points to 4.
I picked this. In fact, I picked the whole round.
It was, oh, did you?
Yep.
Old boys round, old boys day, I should say, up there at Newcastle.
Yeah.
20 years since their 2001 grand final win over the Eels. But they celebrated by going down in an 8-1. Absolute hammering, including being down 22 points to nil at halftime.
I don't think it stopped Ben Kennedy from having a good time, though.
They didn't have much to celebrate. Took the crowd right out of play, I would say, the Parramatta Eels. But the return of that losing culture that Adam, don't you know who I am, O'Brien, spoke about last week is back. About the only good thing they can talk about for the Newcastle Knights was the fact that Jack Johns became the first man with that surname to play for Newcastle since Andrew Johns retired from the great club about 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was a poor display from the Knights in front of their old boys, as you said, demolished by the Parra Eels in an 8-1 smashing, and they scored their try in the 78th minute. Another son of a former player in Jack Johns debuting for the Knights, wearing the same jersey as his father and his uncle, joining the likes of the father-son players that have played for the same club, like the Morris brothers at St. George, the sons of either Steve Morris or Graham Wimm, depending on who you ask. Preston Campbell's son, of course, as we mentioned in the previous game. And the most famous of all, I think you'll agree, Magpies legend Tommy Radonikis and his son Lincoln Radonikis. Go look it up. Lincoln Radonikis did play.
Check out Ben Anderson while you're Googling those fantastic sons of greats.
Yeah, there's a few. But it wasn't a day of celebrating up at Newcastle Way. No one had told Ben Kennedy. A poor performance from the Knights, who have now lost three out of their last four. And I think the second half of the season is going to be tough for the Knights.
In a time when we're just naming fullbacks all over the State of Origin field for New South Wales, Clint Gutherson, the tourist, might find himself a little bit unlucky. Seems to be the only fullback that hasn't been picked to play for New South Wales.
We've just ruined what I was going to say about this, but keep going.
But he played well for the Parramatta Eels, finishing with 97 running metres, four tackle busts, an offload, a line break, two line break assists, a try assist, and his own try. Meanwhile, one of the great Fijian Flyers trademark, Mika Sivo, became the third fastest player to score 50 career tries in the NRL era with a double against the Knights in just his 59th NRL game.
Yeah, he is pretty fast. I didn't know he was the third fastest player to ever play the game. But I agree with you. Clint, the tourist, Gutherson can feel a little unlucky to be left out of Freddie's Origin squad. He is a fullback, so I thought he could have at least been picked at lock or something for game one up there in Townsville where the crowd's going wild. Cook, they can't wait.
Cook can consider himself very lucky.
But this was a good all-round performance from the Knights in this one, but they'll come crashing back to earth next week against the giant killers, the mighty West Tigers.
Yeah, we start off with probably one of the biggest stories coming out of the week. Canberra star and all-round good bloke Curtis Scott has been stitched up by the cops again, reportedly being caught on camera involved in a fight at a nightclub. The Canberra Times broke the news on Sunday afternoon and Scott was allegedly filmed on CCTV in an altercation at Kokomo's, Sid, good club.
Yeah, I've got more to say about that.
In the nation's capital city. According to reports, a man believed to be Curtis Scott can be seen punching another man several times. It's believed the other man suffered a broken nose and concussion.
It's not his go, former. Have you seen the footage? It was a better fight than Mayweather versus that YouTube cockhead, but what struck me about the footage...
Dead Frank.
What struck me about that footage was how shithouse a Canberra nightclub is. What about Kokomo? I don't want to take you there. It's boring.
I've got a great story about a Canberra nightclub, but I cannot say it.
We'll save it for the live show.
We won't.
Go to fullcreditpodcast.com. Get tickets.
Embattled million-dollar man Anthony Milford faces the prospect of not playing for the Broncos ever again as it's revealed he'll miss a month of football following knee surgery. Queensland journalist Mark Gottlieb revealed via Twitter on Sunday that Milford will undergo surgery on a knee injury and be sidelined for a month. Out of favour and now injured, time is running out for Milford to get back in the side before his contract runs out.
Gottlieb is his name. Got scoop, hey? What a scoop.
Who's got game.
Who's going to pick up the Milf now? He's out of contract, on big money. Now he's injured. I'd say he'd probably find home at West Tigers, the Bulldogs, but surely Super League, probably Catalans, that someone pointed out to me this week is in the French team, which we knew. Fact checkers everywhere.
Jeez. Tell me this.
Yeah.
I asked this question about 6 weeks ago. I'll ask it again now.
Okay.
How much is Milford worth a punt on?
Yeah, at the time you asked me, all I can think of is where would we fit him at the Tigers, and I can't fit him in anywhere. I don't know. I don't think he's worth anything. I think he should go Super League.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he's got any good footy left in him?
The only place I reckon he could go, and I say this because I say this whenever there's a bloke that's sort of out of form and going nowhere, that he would probably go okay at, is Melbourne. But where do they fit him?
Yeah, exactly.
They just got rid of Nacho Hines. So
it'll be interesting to see if someone has a stab.
ARL Commission Chairman Peter Volandis admits he made a mistake. He said he was... He said he was... He wasn't right with his lack of consultation with players ahead of the introduction of the NRL's crackdown on high contact. On SEN Radio on Friday, Volandis said it was been an error coming through in that glorious mono sound coming through one earphone.
They actually contact us and ask us to put these stories that they ran on SEN so someone will hear them.
Peter Volandi said it would be an error not to discuss the changes with the players.
We're not going to get that radio gig, are we?
No, once they went with FBI, I decided to declare war. To discuss the changes with the players before this year's Magic Round, Volandis admitted the ARLC had no intention of being disrespectful to the players, and the rule interpretation was only changed with their best interests in mind.
Yeah, you won't hear this very often from old mate Ned Philanders. A back down of sorts. He didn't say that he was... He stopped short. But as we discussed last week, and you teed off on it and you grab a mirror, this was a bad look, not negotiating with the RLPA. People saying that Ned Philanders saved rugby league.
Just sitting down with them and telling where they're coming from.
He couldn't have saved rugby league without the players, and I think the players were justifiably angry being left out of the loop. But now Ned's come out and said, I was...
I'll tell you who's been very silent on this matter is the old comedy duo Kent and Hooper. Kent, one of the great Kents. Nothing from them, mate. They spent 45 minutes talking about it.
This is their favourite topic until now.
And then they doubled down on NRL 360 and went again, and yet nothing. And now they're just attacking Clint Newton for being, I don't know what they try to attack him
poor
for.
Poor Clint Newton. He's made some terrible life decisions.
One I can think of. The West Tigers are going back to the future, Sid, with the club appointing four-time premiership winning coach Tim Sheens to a new role of head of football performance at the Concord Club in a huge coup for the joint venture. Outfit, the coach who guided the West Tigers to the club's one and only premiership in 2005, will be back on deck by early July. Sheens was a fan favourite at the West Tigers during his 10-year tenure, where he guided the club to three final series, including the inaugural premiership.
He was a fan favourite ahead of such great coaches that we had, like Terry Lamb and Mick Potter, Jason Taylor. But no, Tim Sheens, he went all right. It's actually an interesting move by the Tigers. Tim Sheens is still our longest-serving coach at West Tigers. As you said, he, of course, won us the comp in 2005. He's the only coach to take us to the semis in our history, three times in 20-odd years. But with West Magpies taking over the bulk of the juniors down at Campbelltown and a new centre of excellence coming soon at Concord, it's a good move by the club to have a footy person rather than a businessman in charge of the football pathways at the West Tigers organisation that they love saying.
And I understand that off the back of this, Parramatta have decided it's a great idea to get your coach of your last premiership to come alongside and give some assistance. So they've wheeled John Money out of the retirement home, and dead set, 74-year-old John Money is about to make a big difference down there at Parramatta.
He'll be good there. He'll be good there.
Rumours of a bombshell Mitchell Pearce switch won't go away, despite both Newcastle and Cronulla moving to deny the rumours. Mitchell Pearce has denied he'd been approached by incoming Sharks coach Craig Fitzgibbon, a former teammate of his, when foxsports.com.au first reported the story last month. But 3 weeks later, Fox Sports chief reporter, James Hooper, says the move is still a very real chance of happening.
Well, if Hoop says it...
That'll do me. I actually have heard from different sources that this actually is a chance for a number of reasons, including some salary cap issues possibly up at Newcastle and the fact that Mitchell's contract has now changed where there's no incentives anymore, which there was high incentives in his last contract.
Well, he's not going to get to a grand final.
No.
The way the Knights are playing. He's not going to make Origin.
No. And I think he wouldn't mind coming back to Sydney. And I mean, a nice quiet area like the Shire.
Yeah, he won't get in any trouble in Cronulla.
No.
But as you said, I forgot that he actually played with Fitzgibbon. He would have been around him there when he was coaching as well.
Mm.
It's a lot to think that this may happen.
Yeah. The other one that was bouncing around was, who was going to go to Canberra? There was someone...
Brooksy.
No.
Well, I don't want Brooksy to go now.
That's still blowing around too, that story.
Brooksy's going all right now.
But no, there was someone else about to go to Canberra. Who was that? Let me have a look. Let me just see here.
Dufty. They're talking Dufty today that Dufty might go.
Yeah, I've actually heard that that's...
What about Fox Sports put a photoshopped...
I heard that's all but done.
Well, they put a photoshopped picture that was supposed to be Dufty in a up-the-milk jersey, but they put McInnes from St. George, his head, on the jersey. That was embarrassing. Whatever.
Good product knowledge there.
The other switch that looks like it may happen today, there's been a lot of talk that Dallin Watine Zalesniak might come across to the Tigers. But today they have said that Joey Leilua may be part of the swap, where even there,
what,
the Bulldogs...
We're going to lose Joey Leilua.
West Tigers...
How are we going to survive?
They're going to give the Bulldogs Joey Leilua and get Watine Zalesniak and get a few hundred thousand on top. It's a genius move by the incoming Tim Sheens. It's got his fingerprints all over it.
Trent Barrett, good deal.
Trent Barrett's building a pretty good squad. I'm not sure that this is the deal of the century, Trent. Walk away now while you can. Are you having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, Bucks or Hens night coming up? Mare Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom-made t-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies, tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals. Or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mareinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mare Inc. has you covered. Go to mareinc.com.au. Go to
mareinc.com.au. Game 1, 2021. Queensland have the trophy back again. We go to Queensland in front of 50,000 heads or 25,000 fans.
Let's get it on!
Yeah, Sid, game one up there at Kissing Cousins Stadium, and the Queensland side obviously holding the trophy. So let's go through their team.
Yep.
At fullback, Valentine Holmes has now gone back to fullback to replace the injured Kalen Ponga.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Felt comes onto the wing on one side. Coates is on the other. Capewell is in the centres with Gagai. Munster, Gagai's got bloody...
Oh, I got more to say about that.
Tonsillitis, but yeah. Oh. Munster's in the six. Cherry Evans is in the seven. Try not to hit me on the head, guys. Arrows, 13. Kafusi's in the 11. Fifita, the good Fifita's in 12. Christian Welch is in the 8. Harry Grant is in the 9. And Tino Fasua-Malawi is in the 10. The bench, we have AJ Brimson, Sua Futuaka, and the great, well, half the Tigers side, really,
yeah.
Offa Hengawi.
He's going to go great.
He will go great. The New South Wales side, we'll just run through it. Bit of a mixture in the way Freddie has structured the team. We have James Tedesco at main fullback, Josh Addo-Carr on far left fullback. In the middle, we have Tom Trbojevic in middle right, middle left fullback. Middle right fullback is, of course,
Latrell
Mitchell. Brian To'o is playing the traditional right wing, which is very strange.
That is weird. Hopefully he drops off, gets replaced.
Luai and Cleary form the 6 and the 7, obviously from Penrith. Yo from Penrith is in the 13. Cam Murray's in the 11. Sims is in the 12. This one's a bit of an interesting one too. We've got Jake Trbojevic up there in the 10 with the beach sprinter Cookie in the 9 and Saifiti in the 8. Do you want to look at the bench?
Do we yeah, let's about have the a bench? Look at the New South Wales bench.
We've got Jack Whiten, who'll obviously come on and play wherever he has to from the 14.
He might slot in if Tedesco gets injured at fullback.
Paulo Haas and another Penrith player in Liam Martin in the 17.
And another one in Coruscant.
In the 18, just in case.
Just in case. Mm. It was good for West on the weekend having all these reps out. So we talk with Dunk soon about who we think's going to win, but I just thought I'd take this opportunity just to go through some of the bullshit headlines that have happened during the week. It happens every year.
Has anyone fallen out of bed in Queensland?
This is unbelievable. Let me just read a few that I looked up today. Okay, here's some headlines. Dane Gagai, tonsillitis fears.
Mm, no good.
Tina Turner, lookalike, sets fire to Maroon's presentation night. That was a beauty.
Again, I ask, 2021, Sid. Is there a big call for Tina Turner impersonators in 2021?
This one was on fire, literally. What about this headline? Wayne Bennett says Cam Murray's tackle was a crusher and should miss Origin.
Jeez.
What a dog. It's his own coach. Gagai's hospital stint revealed. That was fascinating reading.
Was it?
Not a true word in the whole article. This one, Phil Gould slams Queensland's arrogance in lead up to Origin. This is a bloke that was in charge of Penrith at one point. Talking about arrogance. Whatever. Here's another headline. Luai's family sobbing at Origin jersey presentation.
Yeah, jeez.
I'm not sure they're sobbing about the paycheck that's coming. This one, everyone was filthy about this. Cherry Evans asks for gentleman's agreement on milking penalties during Origin. Wouldn't think so.
Isn't this a bloke who done a backflip on the Gold Coast? Not sure I'd be entering in any gentleman's agreements with old mate.
This was a great article. Origin has always been the Wild West, but then Sheriff Volandis rode into town.
Who wrote that, Buzz? I think Kenty that
was,
or Hoop?
No, I actually think that
Staff
was in,
Writers?
That was in the Herald from Staff Writers. This one, bit of a fizzle. Origin stars land in Townsville to awkward reception with no fanfare. Gagai, maybe super spreader of new Indian strain of COVID, visited three barbecue stores and a Bunnings.
Did you write that one?
Sure, where I got that one from. What about this one? Brian To'o dances with Luai to K-pop songs. Did you see that video?
I can't do this anymore.
That was horrendous.
Can't do these dancing videos. Was that on TikTok?
Probably.
Yeah, and that's why you would have seen it.
Whatever. This one, Ivan Cleary says Penrith should be rewarded, not penalised, for having Origin stars. And this headline today, Gagai certain to play. They're playing games.
Like, just go back to that Tina Turner headline.
Yeah.
What was it again?
It was Tina Turner lookalike sets fire to Maroon's presentation night.
I tell you what, as exclusively tipped by @former_legend, Queensland should have gone with the Thomas Keneally impersonator instead of the Tina Turner one. Much safer option.
That would have been a beauty.
Put a few to sleep or whatever.
For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be up by yourself.
Sports News.
AFL and the Swans have beaten the St Kilda Dragons, while the GWS Money Pit had the bye, Sid.
Yeah, Sydney has hung on against a dogged and inaccurate St KFC side, winning by 9 points at the SCG. The lead changed 7 times throughout this match that goes for, I don't know how long an AFL match goes for, but co-captain Josh Kennedy's goal.
4 quarters.
Out of a stoppage halfway through the fourth. Looked to be the final blow, but the St KFC chicken strips kept coming and had the chance to take the lead in the dying stages. Only, I'm not sure if you saw this, only for Higgins to miss 2 set shots. I couldn't believe my eyes, former. These are professional athletes, and you miss those 2 set shots. But then James Rowbottom sealed the result. It was a nail-biter, I've got to say.
Just going back on that, and I know that you're a big fan of the Swannies coach. What's his name again?
Captain. Coach Cranky?
No. Just what was his thoughts behind after the game?
Coach Feathersword? What's his name? I don't know.
Johnny Longmire.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Longmire. He was actually happy that the Swans are getting up in these tight ones.
Tennis, hashtag.
There's been a few.
Hashtag talk other games down. Russian tennis player Yana Svitkova has been arrested in Paris by French police as part of a match-fixing investigation. Svitkova, a 26-year-old doubles specialist, you know your career's on the wane.
Yeah, you're at the top of your game there.
Playing as a doubles specialist. Was taken into custody on Thursday night in relation to an investigation dating back to October for sports corruption and organised gang fraud. Svitkova lost 6-1, 6-1 in her French Open first-round doubles match earlier on. Earlier on Thursday, while partnering her compatriot, Ekaterina Alexandrova, against Australian pair, that's right, Australian pair, Asla, oh, you wouldn't read about this, Asla
Feather Sword.
Tom Livick and Storm Sanders. Thank God for Storm. According to La Parisienne, Zvitkova was arrested while leaving a massage session, Sid, after her, definitely not a happy ending, after her match at her hotel room was searched before her arrest.
Yeah, look, it's always interesting in tennis when the underdog gets up, especially like unbackable against unbackable favourites, or unbackable favourites in a tournament just mysteriously pull out.
Very, like, what about ones that just get into that third set and go down injured?
Exactly.
That's weird.
It's a real issue with tennis, a bit of match fixing, along with drugs. A lot of shenanigans go on in tennis, people. Look it up. I can't do all the research for you, kids. Go and Google it.
I encourage you to Google Serena Williams panic room.
Yeah.
Volleyball. Hashtag talk other games down. Serbia's volleyball. This is the best story of the week.
Hit me. I haven't seen this.
Serbia's Volleyball Federation has been forced to apologise after footage emerged of racist gestures being made mid-match. Serbian player Sanja Djurjevic drew two fingers to the side of her face to make the slanty eyes gesture.
Wow.
Haven't done that for years.
This is fantastic.
Haven't done it since I was a kid at school. It occurred after a Thai player's failure to score a point during their match in Italy. The incident saw the Volleyball Federation of Serbia put out a bizarre press statement apologising. They said, "We apologise sincerely to the Thailand people, the Thailand team, and all of you affected by this. But please, don't blow this out of proportion. Sanja is aware of her mistake and she immediately apologised to the whole Thailand team. She only wanted to show her teammates, let's start playing defence like them now. She didn't mean any disrespect."
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus.
She said, "I'm so sorry."
Of course, it was unfortunate. It all ended up as a simple misunderstanding in a friendly atmosphere between the players of the two teams. The insensitive incident comes 4 years after the entire Serbian volleyball team posed in a photo with a majority pulling their faces in the slanty eyes gesture after learning of their qualification in Japan. The photo was ultimately pulled by the FIVB, Volleyball Nations League, said.
Look, there's nothing wrong with this. We all did this when we were five. People are so sensitive, former. In this instance, were the Chinese team actually offended by this?
Well, it wasn't. It was the Thailand team.
Oh, they all look the same to me.
Boxing. Oh, well, I say boxing. Floyd Mayweather.
This was a disgrace.
Dominated, but ultimately couldn't put away gallant YouTube star Logan Paul as their exhibition fight went the distance and finished without an official result on Monday in Miami. The 44-year-old former welterweight world champion, who retired with an unblemished record of 50-0, returned to the ring to face the 26-year-old internet star in a bizarre crossover exhibition many have written off as a joke. Paul, with a huge height and weight advantage, gave a good account of himself early, but while he was aggressive and unleashed a flurry of shots, few were able to land against the boxing legend. A patient Mayweather took control of the fight and landed the best shots, with Paul visibly tired by the end of the fourth round. Commentators remarking Mayweather was in total control and that a knockout win seemed only a matter of time away. But Paul, to the surprise of many, but not to Paul or to Mayweather, showed his toughness by going the distance. "You never know this with this guy," Paul said, going the distance. "I'm going to go home and think, yo, did Floyd let me survive, do you think?"
Yes.
Prior to the...
I'll tell you, Paul. Yes, he did.
Prior to the fight, Mayweather said this was legalized bank robbery.
100%.
He made $130 million out of the
fight. Wow.
Just for those playing at home, for stats, Jake Paul landed 27. Is it Jake Paul?
Don't think so.
It's his brother.
YouTube star.
Logan Paul. Logan Paul landed 7 of 73 jabs at 10% and 21 of his 144 power strikes at 15%. And
he had a crack.
In total, connected a worrying 28 times from 217 attempts, 13% overall.
Hurt him, though, with those 28
Mayweather
taps.
Hurt him. Mayweather only threw 14 jabs and tagged Paul with 7 of those, along with 36 power strikes from 93 thrown at 93%, connecting with only 43 punches from 107, 40%.
This Logan Paul, Jake Paul's brother.
Yep.
You see him after this fight, he got 13 million or 17 million for it, some ridiculous amount of millions. He's sitting there at the press conference with a Pokemon around his neck.
A Apparently that Pokemon's worth $200,000.
Yeah, he said it was worth $1 million. I can't believe anything that comes out of his mouth. And I'm happy to say it to him. What's he going to do, bash me? I wouldn't think so.
Would you fight Floyd Mayweather for $13 million?
100%.
He could knock seven shades of shit out of me and I wouldn't care.
That'd be hilarious. He'd have a 100% hitting record against old Sid Butts. One hit. I think it missed. No, it didn't.
Down I go.
Got me. Oh. It's a high shot. I'm staying down. I want a penalty.
Dane Laurie.
Gone. Oh, I'd be grinning more than Dane Laurie down there. 17 mil in me skyrocket.
Need a Sparky, then make the call to NDF Electrical.
Do you need electrical work done? NDF Electrical provides expert service and advice on a wide range of commercial and residential projects. With over 23 years' experience, NDF Electrical have you covered for all your electrical needs from the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads, Byron Bay and everywhere in between. For a free quote, go to ndfelectrical.com.au.
NDF Electrical.
Yeah, with thanks to our mates from NDF Electrical, it's time for the greatest podcasting segment in all the world. It's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yeah, it's time for Grab a Mirror, Sid, and not been a great night on the microphone, I've got to be honest. not in the best form.
Nah, you're all over the shop.
I'm almost what you'd be call a touring doubles player, the way I'm traveling. You can enter Grab a Mirrors by answering my Grab a Mirror tweet, usually around 7:30 on a Tuesday morning. There's another one around 3:30, 4 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon.
That's a more acceptable hour for me.
Use the hashtag GrabAMirror, hashtag GAM.
And you have to use those. I saw someone put an entry in today.
No good.
They got howled down by creditors, calling him a rookie, everything.
I'll have a go first here.
Yeah, you go first.
I need you to cue up some music, but...
Okay. Do you want me to hit play now?
No, not yet.
Okay.
GrabAMirror... Little Uzi Vert.
What now?
The great man. Play the song, Sid.
She said, you're the worst, you're the worst. I cannot die bigger than my universe. I don't really care if you cry. You really shouldn't have a lie.
Now, as you can hear, Sid, I know you know this, but for the people who don't know at home, maybe there's one or two. That's Little's, the great man's massive hit, EXO Tour Life.
Oh, it's a wonderful tune.
And I'm pretty sure, wasn't that, you said that was your wedding song?
It was a wild wedding.
Those playing at home, Sid, and how do you think Little, the great man, spells life in the song title, EXO Tour Life?
No, it won't be a Queen's English way.
No, how would you reckon? Have a guess.
Like L-Y-F-E or something?
Ah, you're a sweet kid. you want to have another guess?
No.
What about double L-I-F-3?
Oh, that would have been my fifth guess.
And for
what's
those
his name? That, Little Uzi Vert.
Little Uzi Vert. And for those of you not play or not as cutting edge as me, Little Uzi Vert, the great man, is a Philadelphia native. His real name is Symir Basil Woods.
Really?
Kid you not. He's run with Little Uzi Vert. he first began to set the internet on fire, Sid, and I say fire, with his explosive appearance on Carnage's single WDYW.
Oh, yeah.
Alongside A$AP Ferg ASAP, as soon as possible, but with a dollar sign, and Rich the Kid. And later he's turned on Big Racks for Young Thugs Slime Season 2, Sid. Who can
I don't know
that?
What any of these words that you're putting together mean, but keep going.
Now, Little Uzi Vert.
I'm more
Vert,
a Lil Wayne fan myself.
Little Uzi Vert, the great man, later went on to rock the world with his highly acclaimed debut single, Love Is Rage 2, which quickly hit the number one on the Billboard 200. In March this year, actually, Little Uzi purchased a $4.4 million glass-walled home in California.
Good for him.
Which is... I know you were saying you'd love some of the Fernwood gyms to have glass walls. You said that's your dream.
Imagine if we had glass walls here on a Tuesday night.
They'd be shaking a couple of times. Now, Little, back in February, hit the headlines this year when he bought himself, get this, a $24 million diamond as a bit of a present to himself. And what do you do with a massive pink diamond when you're a single man, Sid?
Don't know.
Well, back in February when he was single, it's obvious. You get it implanted into your forehead because you're not an idiot.
That's sick.
I shit you not. Old Little had a $24 million diamond implanted into his forehead. When he was asked why he had the operation to remove the penis and implant the diamond in his forehead, he said it was because he couldn't trust himself not to lose the massive gem.
Just covering his circumcision scar.
Which, as you can see tonight, Sid, is why I have my wallet and keys implanted in my forehead. Now, despite a representative from Sierra Leone Jewel of Blood Diamond claiming that the diamond was as safe as any other piercing, Lil Uzi Vert subsequently claimed that the rock was causing him bleeding and he'd have to have it removed.
Was he getting a little Uzi?
Now, in a photo posted on Instagram by some bloke, DJ Akamanis or whatever it is, Lil Uzi, the great man, was seen without the rock this week as he posed for a snap with fellow rapper and girlfriend JT. Now, I'm not sure who JT is. Could be Jonathan Thurston, James Tedesco, or Jake Trebojevic, but better not be Jason Tamalolo. I'll tell you, Lil Uzi, the great man, because you're going to need more than an Uzi not to stop that bleeding from your forehead again. I'll give you the red hot tip if it's the great man, Jason Tamalolo. Anyway, even though the great man, Lil Uzi Vert, has taken his jewel out of his forehead, it hasn't stopped other celebrities, Sid, from putting jewels around their scones.
Uh-huh.
Now, former Australian basketballer Lauren Jackson is apparently looking at getting an opal implanted in her head to celebrate being our greatest opal,
Australian That's basketballer. Yeah.
While great Australian thespian Angela White has been photoed with some pearl necklaces over her face. Anyway, might end that here. Probably have to clean this joke up a bit. Grab a mirror, Little Uzi Vert, the great man. Keep your diamonds in your pockets and keep your hands off JT, the great man.
10.
At Young Yell 1. Grab a mirror of those players and commentators that say no one tries to meaningfully hurt each other or other players. I totally agree, especially when you see someone give a facial or elbow to the face of a tackle player. Hashtag share the love.
100%, you got to smash him. You got to hurt him.
9.
At Yatta Yee. Grab a mirror at Fox NRL for not even knowing your own clientele. Even Helen Keller can tell the difference between Cameron McGuinness and Matt Dufty.
Yep.
Hashtag was probably James Hooper.
That was embarrassing.
8.
At Rodgy 77395239.
Hey, Rodgy.
That's his phone number. Grab a mirror at Floyd Mayweather. Used to be the best boxer alive and now is the biggest nufty after drawing with, no, not a boxer, a fucking YouTuber. I respect the cash grab, though.
100%.
7.
At the Greaser. Grab a mirror, any numpty who paid for the Mayweather-Paul fight. An absolute farce to the sport of boxing. You'd have more entertaining fight outside IGA Doonside. Hashtag let's go beer boy. Hashtag bring your own fishing net. Hashtag Mayweather giving out free hugs.
One of the great things that happened on Twitter this year was that fight outside of IGA Doonside. I actually watched this fight. It was live streamed on TikTok. You should have tuned in for me.
Yeah, should have. Yeah.
It was
yeah.
So worth it.
Another reason not to get it. At Ben Pugsley. Hashtag Guerra Mirror, Sookie Lewis Hamilton. He's got a bunch of quotes here. If you're not in a Formula One, you probably won't get these, but Checo made me press the wrong button. These tyres are shit, man. How do they pass me in the pits? As soon as someone else has a car as good as you, you've got more bullshit excuses than Miriam McGregor. Hashtag turn off his radio. Hashtag pit boards only.
I don't know what any of that means. Good tweet, though.
5.
Let's go back to a little Vert. Uzi Vert.
Little Uzi.
At CB41332. Grab a mirror at Courier Mail, put a minute.
Good.
After 2 weeks of your origin stories about players in doubt with bruised toenails and other life injuries, I'm sick of the bullshit already. Hashtag just play the game. Hashtag cut the crap. Hashtag might change teams. Hashtag two more to go.
Could not agree more, although the Tina Turner impersonator, that was actually worth tuning into this year.
4.
At Schooniversity. Hashtag grab a mirror of the chef at work. He has to go home and explain to his girlfriend of 2 years why his bed flute is crying and his fun bags are sore. Turns out STDs are more than just a long-distance phone call.
Oh.
Hashtag penicillin should fix it. Hashtag should be a fun conversation. Hashtag kids these days.
Did they put the restaurant in it? No one will be eating there now. These old fellow are a little oozy. Can I have a go now?
I wish you would.
This is from the Grab a Mirror America Files former.
America, fuck yeah!
Now, it seems in the great country of the US of A, they're having trouble convincing their citizens to go and get the COVID-19 vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
So they've come up with some innovative ways to encourage their citizens to go and get the jab. Let me run through a few for you. In Ohio, where local businesses are doing it tough due to lockdowns imposed by the government has decided to use its COVID-19 relief funds not to help those small businesses, but to run a lottery for people who go and get the jab.
Brilliant.
$1 million prizes are on offer with weekly draws in this lottery. Governor Mike DeWine announced the weekly lottery draws earlier this month ahead of the state's strict restrictions easing in early June. I know that some may say, DeWine, you're crazy, he said. This million-dollar drawing idea of yours is a waste of money. But you should see all the other ways I waste taxpayers' money, he laughed as he was led away by advisors. Now, in New York, where obesity kills more people than COVID, you get free hamburgers with fries when you get the vaccine. It's a good idea. In other states, you can also get free pizza, free hot dogs, free donuts for all the fat pricks willing to get the Chinese virus needle. In Miami, former, they have the Shots for Shots campaign, rewarding vaccine guinea pigs with free alcohol. I'd probably get it if I was living in Miami. In China, you get a carton of eggs if you go get the jab. Just a bit of interest for you.
Jeez.
But the best one yet is in West Virginia, Mountain Mama. If you go and get the shot, you go in the running to win 5 custom hunting rifles or 5 custom shotguns.
Which one would you go with?
Oh, I'd go the shotguns for sure, man.
Yeah, good gun and shotty.
Good old West Virginia. Take me home, country road.
America, fuck yeah!
In Florida, you get a bag of meth and 10 days off your probation if you go get the jab. So grab a mirror, Americans, you weird lot. The land of the free. Free burgers, free hot dogs, free guns. You bunch of weirdos.
3.
At Mr. Barjas.
Barji.
Grab a mirror anywhere south of the Brisbane River. Sort your fucking weather out. I understand there's laws about having to do it in public, but never thought I'd have to wear pants inside the house. It's fuck, it's cold here. Hashtag 12 degrees feels like 5 my ass. It's minus fucking 20. Hashtag shrinkage.
Oh, poor Barji. 2.
At Sacker Bob. Sacker Bob, this is the one that got through. The other one, not so much. Hashtag grab a mirror. All the fucking knobheads who come out this time of the year, you know the ones, born in New South Wales, raised in New South Wales, still live in New South Wales, never left New South Wales, but are fucking Maroon supporters.
There's nothing worse.
Fuck off and join Palaszczuk if you love Queensland so much and leave Boris to us. Hashtag man, worse than Man U supporters.
Good tweet.
What's Man U?
What?
I don't know.
1.
Man U.
At underscore boo says, hashtag grab a mirror at blokes that wear V-neck T-shirts. If there is a Venn diagram with Bill Cosby, the Catholic Church, and V-neck shirt wearers, I'm sure it'd be more accurate than Oscar Pistorius' handgun. Hashtag who else can I clip? Hashtag I'm in here. Hashtag fizzy drink. Hashtag check the hard drive. Hashtag kids say funny things.
Very, very good.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
All right, Sid, it's time for this. NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yeah, with thanks to our mates from Bluebet, it's Duncan McRae on the line. Jesus, I've got all tired all
yeah,
of a sudden.
What's the matter with you?
It's very late.
You thought you were having a stroke.
How you going, Dunks? What's going on?
Yeah, good evening, former Sid, all the maniac listeners out there. Really pumped for Origin, boys, 24 hours away, and looking forward to the game up in Townsville. Great to see the country areas getting a taste of Origin. So I think it's a game New South Wales have to win, with game two being at Suncorp. So I think it's going to be a ball terror, boys. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, when we rang you, you just could not contain your excitement.
I was doing cartwheels, burpees, and sit-ups, Sid. So very happy, very wrapped.
It's going to be good.
As you said, it goes to the country area, and you said that after this we should be going to Carcore.
I can't wait to hear what you've called the stadium for the Origin former. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, let's start with, we start on Thursday. Now, we'll get to the Origin later, but let's start on Thursday night, and it's Manly Warringah Seagulls playing the North Queensland Cowboys. They've kicked him out of their house and home. They've come down to asbestos land down there at Brookvale. It's $1.37, the Seagulls. It's $3.10, the Cowboys. Handicaps at 8.5. Take your pick with bluebet.com.au. Dunks, you're on fire at the moment. Who are you tipping?
Mate, I think the Eagles are specials, boys. I think all the Cowboys will be out at the Origin Wednesday night and still on the turfs Thursday morning. So, if Tommy Turbo plays, it's 13+. If he doesn't play, I still think they win.
Yeah, I agree. It will hinge on Tommy Turbo. But I think they should still scrape home. The Cowboys, they're gone.
Oh, gone?
Yeah.
Jeez, massive call.
They're going to have a low second half of the season. You heard it here first.
Interesting to see former Tom Dearden makes his debut for the Cowboys too. So see if a sea change makes any difference for him.
Yeah, I forgot about that. They're on the up the cows.
Are you saying a sea change or a sea bold change? Yeah, I'm hearing you. Look, I'll back the Seagulls, but I actually got no confidence in this tip, especially given we've got to get for an Origin first. So you heard it here first. The second game sees the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. This must be Friday night. Taking on the Penrith Panthers.
Yeah, they are on Friday night.
Stinging from a loss. It's $2.95, the Sharkies. It's $1.40, the Panthers. Handicaps at 7.5. Dunks, can the Panthers bounce back and get their season back on track?
Well, it all depends on the 6 and 7, doesn't it, boys? Who plays in that? Because the Panthers just can't score points without Cleary and Luai there. We've seen that the other night with May and Burton. They were just absolutely running around with their heads cut off. So going to have to wait and see, boys. If one of those two play in the halves, I think the Panthers win.
Well, Judas Cleary came out today saying that none of his State of Origin players will back up, but Judas Cleary is a liar, so we'll have to see on Friday night. But you can't back the Sharks, surely.
I don't know. I don't know whether you're along the same line of thinking as me, Dunks, but it could be time for a rebuild out there at Penrith after that loss. They look like they're in all sorts, but I'll give them one more chance before I write them off completely. They'll beat the Sharks, probably about 60, I reckon. the next game sees the Gold Coast Titans take on the Sydney City Roosters. It's up there at Bang Bus Super Stadium. Favourite Bang Bus video on YouPorn, Dunks?
What's that, mate? No, I haven't.
I'll send a couple to you.
Thank you.
It's $3.75 the Titans, $1.27 the Roosters. Like I said, it's up there at Bang Bus, one of my favourite porn shoot.
I just thought that was a Venga Boys reference every week.
I was thinking the Venga Bus.
Just Google Bang Bus. Tell me what you come up with.
Don't do it at work.
Might have seen it in the search engine, apparently.
Yeah, don't do it on your work computer, whatever you do.
No.
It's
John Hayne made that mistake.
He's made a few mistakes, I've got to be honest.
Didn't he put it on an assembly for a school one time?
He sure did.
He did that, did a couple of other things, and he's in Cooma. Whatever. It's 11.5 the handicap. $1.90, take your pick. Who do you like, Dougs?
Boys, what's going on with the Titans? They're disgusting. What's happened with them? Got to tip the Roosters easily. You know what you get. You know you're going to get a hard-working team. They're going to turn up. They're going to play hard. The Titans, mate, please, leave me out of them.
Yeah, the Titans are gone. I'm writing them off. You heard it here first. They're going to have a terrible second half of the season. You can't back them with anyone else's money. The Roosters will smash them.
Yeah, look, I'll back the Roosters. This next man up thing, that's the new saying for 2021. Last year it was eyes up footy. This year it's next man up.
Yeah.
Every time someone's down in any team, that's the catchphrase that mainly James Hooper goes with. But next man up.
Yeah, I like it.
And I'll be back in the Roosters because they're the best next man up team in the league at the moment.
I'm still not sure what that phrase means, but yeah, I like it.
The next game sees Duncan McRae's Bunnies, the South Sydney Rabbitohs, the pride of the league, taking on the Newcastle Knights, who are disgusting. It's $1.14, the Rabbitohs.
$1.14.
That's giving money away, in my opinion. $5.60, the Knights. Handicaps at 7.5. They'll go past that in the first
17 20. 17.5.
That's right. Yeah. Now, don't forget, it's over there at Cathy Freeman Oval over at Homebush. Dunks, are you tempted to go the Knights? I know you were talking about them off air, saying that they are still a chance.
Oh, please. Boys, I declared the Eels 20-plus last week. I'll be declaring the Bunnies 20-plus this week. And the Knights are disgusting. What about the old great Andrew John saying Tex Hoy just gliding across the ground? Does he want to mention that he's his godfather? Like, spell, please, boys. I love the bloke to death, the third, the eighth, or whatever he is. He's one of my good mates. But, geez, enough of the Tex Hoy bandwagon. Please.
Just like in his career when he was.
Anyone want to notice it?
Just like in his career when he was playing, he's trying to get an extra nought added to someone's contract. Darren Albert owns a couple of houses because of Joey John's. Tex Hoy might be the same.
Yeah, this was a disgusting display by them on the weekend in front of their old boys. I mentioned it earlier, but the Knights, their season's gone. I'm writing them off. The second half,
you're brave.
Second half of the year, they're going to go backwards.
The Bunnies will
do this in a cricket score.
I can't wait to see what level of slop the Knights hand up this week because last week was terrible. They are an ordinary football team with ordinary coach. Don't you know who I am? And I'll be backing the Rabbitohs in case you weren't sure. Canberra Raiders take on the Brisbane Broncos. It's the battle of the team from the 90s. Not anymore. $1.35, the Raiders, which goes to show just how bad the Broncos are travelling because they're $3.20. Their handicap's at 8.5. I would have thought it was a lot closer than that. Dunks, are you tempted to look at the Broncos down there at Geelong Cold Stadium?
Not in the cold. They're travelling from Brisbane to the cold. They're terrible. They've brought back Carmichael Hunt at 6.
Yeah.
It's galvanised week for the Raiders. Curtis Scott into a bar brawl. They're pumped up, the Raiders. I heard that a big barbecue last week, and it wasn't a one-man one either. So I'm very keen on the Raiders 13-plus this week.
I know we joke about Carmichael Hunt coming back, but I tell you what, there's some blokes looking forward to Mad Monday all of a sudden.
I actually like the look of the Broncos. They've mixed up their halves for only the 19th time this season. they're shot. Canberra Raiders, they're not travelling real well either, but they'll beat them down there at home at Geelong Cold.
Time for a rebuild at the Raiders, would you think?
Yeah, and the Broncos.
Former, what about the display of Jermaine Asako last week? That had to be new level.
Legless.
I'm not calling him the West Tigers-bound Jermaine Asako anymore. That was
horrible. He's got to follow in the footsteps of Terry Hill and Craig Field, surely, to the Tigers.
You know you're travelling bad when you get hooked as a fullback. You've done something really bad.
Yep.
And
do you not even look at the clock like it was half-time? Oh, if he pushes it dead, the half's over?
Mate. Yep. Poor old Kevy. I mean, back to the dog wash for him, I reckon. I'll be back in the Raiders there. I can't have the Broncos. The New Zealand Warriors take on the Melbourne Storm. I wouldn't think so. It's $4.80, the Warriors. $1.18, the Storm. 14.5 is the handicap. They're playing up there at Single Mother Stadium. If you've got a pram, you get free parking. It's good news for everyone up there. Dunks, some of your best work being done up on the Central Coast, they tell me.
Yes, what was it, Gosford Leagues, Club Tropper, always the best place, mate. I was telling someone else about Single Mother Stadium, mate. My mate's lost it for me, so you're a new hero. I'm going to tip the Warriors. I'm tipping an upset. I think they'll win plus at the start, but I'm tipping an upset. I know Storm are just too good, but at the value, $5, I'm going to have a peanut on the Warriors.
Yeah, well, that's just throwing money away.
Mate, you don't like money and you don't understand maths.
I might take them at $1.90 plus 14.5, but you can't have them head-to-head. I'm going the Storm.
Not a chance in the world would I back the Warriors head-to-head here. I mean,
it's hard to back the Warriors at the best of times.
I don't know if they piss test down at Blue Bet, but they might want to look at it tomorrow because Dunks has just proven he's off chops. I'll be having the Storm as much as I can on them too. They will not get beaten up there.
I'm not sure about the Warriors' second half of this season. I think they're on the slide.
Good luck to any single mothers if the hectic cheese gets out and about on Saturday night. Or Sunday. Yeah, Saturday night. No, Sunday night. The Parramatta Eels take on the West Tigers. Well, this is the game we've all been looking for. It's $1.28 the Eels. It's $3.70 the West Tigers. What? Handicaps 11.5. The Eels are back in form. West Tigers were the first ones to crack the nut of the Panthers.
Yep.
And send them into a rebuild. Dunks, how much will we be throwing on the Tigers?
Yeah, well, no, I couldn't touch them with stolen boys. The Eels, like the Eels will win easily. Tigers, two good wins. They played against, you know, a top-ranked side last week, but we'll leave it there. Definitely keen on the Eels, boys. Sorry to go against you.
No, that's fine. I'm backing the Eels as well. That way that way, I can't lose. If we win three in a row, ill vildy, I don't care about me tips. The Eels will win. Just. I like the 11.5 start. Might have a stab at that.
I mean, obviously, it just depends how good the Tigers bounce back from Origin with one player up there playing off the bench. Parramatta Eels, they are returned to form. They're just getting the West Tigers at a good time because they won't win three in a row probably in the next decade. So we'll
I
be
don't
back.
Know. I think the second half of the season, the Tigers are on the up. There's a lot of teams falling over. Yep. We'll get that ninth spot. You mark my words.
And just to rub that feeling of you've got to go back to school kids after a public holiday that decided to play this game, the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs up against the St. George Illawarra Dragons, kids will want to be returning early instead of watching this.
Yep.
It's $4.40, the Bulldogs, $1.19, the Dragons. Bit skinny, I would have thought. Handicaps 13.5, $1.90. Take your pick with our friends at Bluebet. Dunks, St. George, they're your bogey side. You'll be backing them, but wouldn't you?
Yeah, I will be, boys, at the plus. Yeah, the Bulldogs there. Yeah, they're finished. Definitely keen on the Dragons here, boys. I think it'll be a high-scoring game played in the afternoon. I think the unders or overs will be about 50.5. I think there'll be 60, 70 points in this game, and the majority of them, and the win with the Dragons.
Dunks, if you were building a team from scratch and you had the pick of two available halfbacks to start season 2022, A. Milford or K. Flanagan, which way are you heading?
Oh, well, you know my thoughts on Kyle Flanagan, so that's an easy one. It's the MILF. The MILF. Mate, good luck. I think it'd be a good pick-up for the Bunnies, actually, the MILF. Maybe we can turn him around, get him cheap, and bring him down into a good forward pack. I wouldn't put that past the Bunnies. Either him or Sean Johnson I'll take for our number seven next year.
Well, I'm hearing good things about Tex Hoy.
He just glides across the ground.
He's an excitement machine.
Yeah, you can't go past the Dragons. I hate tipping the Dragons, but they'll beat the Doggies.
Oh, they'll beat the Dogs, and they'll do it easy. All right, we head tomorrow night. It's the big game. It's the one we've all been looking for.
Before we move on, can I just point out, I tipped the round last week. And
did you? There was four games. Big whoop.
Yeah, there was four games, but none of you picked four. But also, Sid's rough punt last week that was Eels 13+, Tigers 13+, Dragons and Storm to win, they all got up. But anyway, well, let's move on.
What'd that pay?
Not sure.
How much did you have on it?
I had a lazy hunch on it.
Yeah, of course you did.
A lot of the punters out there took my advice.
What round was it? Round 14. You were due, you'd have to say.
Took Blue Bet to the cleaners last week. Sorry, Dunk.
That's knocked the share price right around.
Yeah, don't stuff that up, boys. I've only got 3 weeks to wait before it goes on the board, please.
Just hold in. Hold, boys, hold.
I won't have a bet
this week.
I feel
like going to Bali and going to just disappear for 3 weeks until it goes on, to be honest with you, lad. So I don't stuff it up.
Give it a couple of weeks. Carmichael Hunt will be with you, so that'll be good. All right, we head up there to the Kissing Cousins Stadium up there at North Queensland. It sees the Queensland Maroons, that's right, Maroons, take on the New South Wales Blues. It's $2.55 now for the Maroons. It's $1.52, the Blues. Dunks, you were saying that the Blues are your specials of the week. Is that right?
Yeah, I think up there, boys, they've got to win game one. I'd really like Queensland game two at Suncorp. I think they're virtually impossible to beat there. No, I think the Blues just have to win this game. It's an absolute must win. I think it's, you know, you just look at the team. I wonder what they're going to do with Cameron Murray on the edge, whether he comes off the bench, they play Liam Martin, you know, on or start, you know, Paulo with Haas and move Isaiah Yeo to the edge. I wonder what they're going to do there. But I just think they've got too many guns. I think Latrell, any time try scorer, I think it's going to be any time try scorer Latrell into the Blues at the line. I think that'll be my same game multi with Bluebet for Wednesday night.
I think that's one of the specials on Bluebet. You can have either the Fox or Valentine Holmes to score any time for $3. That seems like
you're... Did you hear the voiceover on that ad, boys? It was, you know,
giving money away, fair dinkum.
Did you hear the voiceover for me? Did you pick it?
Mate, it sounded like a bloke who was running for council down there at Randwick.
Well, I recorded it in my car, so obviously flying a blue bit. So,
Jesus. And they're going on the stock exchange, are they?
That's it, mate. The 2nd of July for me. Please, everyone, buy them. Thank you.
Written and spoken by...
Well, anyway, back
please,
to the footy.
Please get Seabus Super Stadium or Seabus Super Fund in there for me. You know them.
Yeah, we have to. I reckon if we go well enough, you could rename every stadium. And you'd have that much money coming out your ears, we could name them all the names I've given them if Blue Man's
there. Mate, it is very good, mate. It is a highlight of hearing that every time. I must
bring the fans back to the grounds, wouldn't it?
Oh, probably to punch 7 shades of shit out of you.
Oh, my 2 favourites are Malcolm Naden and Single Mothers. They're my favourites. Is it Malcolm or Michael Naden? Malcolm Naden?
That Malcolm Naden oval's very hard to find.
Oh, those two are definitely on the podium, boys. I love them.
If you put them into sat-nav, it's very hard to find that oval.
Oh, mate, I lose it every time.
Well, if anyone cares, I'm going for New South Wales. We've got too much strike power across the field. We've picked 6 fullbacks in the squad, and we should have enough to get over the top of the Maroons. This is what I thought last year, and we cocked it up.
I don't want to tell Freddie how to suck eggs, but
no,
I would be playing Cameron Murray right in the middle. I wouldn't be running him on any edge, only because him and Cookie work so well together, and that's the plan I'd be running with. Other than that, I really like the combinations we've formed. I like the fact that we're starting to name players that play together. I think that's a very, very good asset. And the fact that we've got 4 fullbacks. So if Tedesco goes down, we'll probably have 1 or 2 to cover him.
Yeah, exactly. Just in case. So we've got no centres, but we've got plenty of fullbacks.
Actually, I don't think we've got any centres in the whole comp. But
yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, no, we'll be
back. No, we should win.
Anything else we should talk about before you head off into the distance, Dunks?
Boys, nothing really. Just pumped up for Origin and go the Blues.
Yeah, I know. I can just tell by the absolute excitement in your voice. you're up and about. Yeah, same here, mate. I'm really looking forward to it. Good luck to Bluebet this week. I mean, you're aptly named. Surely you'll be milking that for everything it's worth, unless the Maroons win, and then it'll be very awkward.
Absolutely, boys. Take care, lads. Have a great week, and go the Blues again.
NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. And it's this time each week, Sid, we look at our tips, including the creditors.
I tipped the round.
4 from 4.
Don't worry about how many it was. Jeez. I tipped the round. Do I get bonus points?
Dinkum. Yeah, we look at the overall tips with me, you and Dunks, and of course the creditors are mixing it up, all the Patreon subscribers. I'm on 71, solid 71. Sid, you've closed the gap to 69.
Yeah.
God's number. Duncan McRae, well, he's fell off the earth.
He only got 3 last week.
So did I. He's on 66, equal with the creditors after BJO Rosenberg, the sexy-voiced motherfucker of BJO Rosenberg. Fair dinkum. Good luck to anyone that's following him in. But he sounds like he's dead set like Barry White.
Well, I'll tell you who's following him this week.
Who?
Patreon subscriber Mace.
Well, now, if he's hoping he's got some timber in his voice like BJ.
Well, everyone's going to be disappointed. Sorry, Mace. BJ O. Rosenberg killed it. But if you want to be part of this, go to patreon.com/FCTTB. And this week, here we go. It's Mace.
G'day everyone, Mace here. This is take 120 of my tips for this weekend. No fucking idea it was going to be so hard to record my voice for a couple of minutes. I definitely recommend becoming a Patreon subscriber as well. The boys give us laughs for free. Let's support them in their endeavours. And I'll stop kissing their ass and get into the footy. So first game is Eagles Cowboys at Asbestos Land. Eagles with Tommy, even after Origin, should win in a canter. Without Tom, they'll lose by 50. So Eagles is my tip. Sharks Panthers, last week was an anomaly. So Panthers will win that one easily. Sorry, beer boy. Into Titans Roosters. I smelt a little bit of an upset here, but then I think it was something else I was smelling. So it's definitely the Roosters on that one. Rabbits Knights. Rabbits will win by 50 easily. Raiders Broncos, I mean, I almost want to see the Raiders beaten just to see Ricky afterwards, particularly after the week they've had with Curtis again, but they should win reasonably comfortably down there in Canberra because it's going to be about -4 on Saturday. Broncos won't be used to it, despite it being at night. So into Warriors Storm, I'm going to tip an upset here. Warriors are paying $5. That is good money for me. They have a decent record against the Storm. I think it's 1 out of 100. I have no stats to back that up, but I'm going to tip an upset. Warriors over Storm at my home stadium, Central Coast Single Mothers Stadium. And into the match of the round, my Mighty Eels up against former and Sid's Tigers. Traditionally has been a shit fight for me. I've got nothing but Tigers mates, some of whom have a full set of teeth. We're all going to this game. I'm bringing two of my daughters. I've got to try and be on my best behaviour. I think Parra will get home on this one, but I reckon 1-12 in all honesty. Into Bulldogs and Dragons. This is a turd of a game. Monday, sorry, Bulldogs and Dragons fans. I'm not really looking forward to any fireworks on this one. The Dragons should win that one reasonably comfortably, but who knows what Bulldogs team's going to turn up. So they are my tips for this weekend. Hope you enjoyed listening to my voice, and please drop me a follow. I'm not very funny, Mace182. Thanks again for the opportunity, boys. Happy tipping.
And that were beautiful words from Mace, and good on him for getting a prepubescent teenager to say all those words for him. He's no BJ O'Rosenberg, really, let's be honest.
Nobody is. It's a tough call.
Jeez, if there's timber in BJ O'Rosenberg, there's a toothpick in that voice.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad.
Boy sack, mail and feedback time. Won't talk about the tip and comp because we've still got Origin to go from last week's
tips. I tipped the round.
You still got the Origin game in it.
Whatever.
We've got a couple of snail mail letters here.
Hit me.
One.
I don't have a sting for it or anything. Just read it out.
A bloke by the name of Prince Harry. Hello, gents.
Hey, Harry.
I just want to thank you. What was that podcast name? No good. I just want to thank you.
Archewell.
For your baby name suggestions. We ended up using a combination of both your nomination, Sid, suggestion of Bluebet, and former's suggestion of Lily and Tomo. We also paid tribute to my grandfather, Prince Philip, who said just before he died, he'd love a grandchild to be called Lily Vanilli or Lily Brownless or Lily Whiteass. Yours sincerely, Prince Harry.
Fantastic.
This one from a C. Scott from Canberra.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a setup. I just want to apologise for my alcohol fuel antics at Kokomo's nightclub. But in my defence, after drinking several jugs of Illusion, test tubes of cocksucking cowboys, and a dozen Jello shots, I got spooked by the cardboard cutouts of Tom Cruise and Brian Brown and started lashing out thinking it was 1989. I mean, who the fuck calls a bar Kokomo's in 2021?
Mate, it looked quality.
Apologies again, Curtis.
That's okay. It's not his go.
Anyway, let's do this.
Having trouble making conversation?
I really want to talk to Monique when she gets off the forklift, but I've got no banter.
When Dave finishes making his two-minute noodles, I'm going to say hi. But what do I say next?
Well, don't worry. Here's former legend with a fascinating fact, so you'll be the life of any social setting.
You're so wise to be able to come up with all these facts every week.
Speaking of two-minute noodles, a 2011 study found that sex with animals, such as chickens, pigs and horses...
What?
...is linked to penile cancer. Perhaps...
What? Perhaps. That's not worth it then, is it?
I'm out all of a sudden. I'm reconsidering, I'll be honest. I'm not completely out, but I'm definitely having a look at all
you
the options.
You do love chicken. What is this fact?
A bit of cock on cock action, you're saying?
Here I was thinking, you've got, yeah, it's full of these amazing facts. This one's rubbish. What's this about?
Let me start again.
Okay.
Before I was rudely interrupted.
I apologise.
By
I was
some
just
pervert.
A little frazzled.
The 2011 study found that sex with animals, such as chickens, pigs, Ooh, chicken. And horses is linked to penile cancer. Perhaps because microtrauma to the penis during these acts lets foreign microorganisms in. Some microorganisms, such as the human papillomavirus, can cause cancer in humans.
So glad I knew that. And I'm sure everyone listening an hour and a half in, glad they're still listening to hear that absolute crap.
If that burp wasn't enough to put you off.
What was that about?
Second one.
Oh, there's more.
This one's more a Fernwood kind of bit of gear. Women may not need a guy, a vibrator, or any other sexual stimulation to have an orgasm. As exercise may do the trick, Sid.
Uh-huh.
A study involving women who had experienced exercise-induced orgasms and a group who reported exercise caused sexual pleasure found that 40% of these women had these experiences on more than 11 occasions in their life. Even so, most of those women in the orgasm group, Sid, said they felt some level of embarrassment when exercising in public places. The researchers say in a 2012 issue of the journal, Sexual and Relationship Therapy.
This is why I was kicked out of Fernwood. Chicks everywhere. Just flicking the bean as I walk past.
See you.
Bye-bye. I want to know when this ever starts. You're playing games with my heart. I got a lot, but I ain't got all night. Let's get it started, it'll be alright. Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? Got places to go and people to see. I gotta know what you're doing with me. But I ain't got all night. Don't be sharp, baby, I won't bite. Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? Action, baby.